This is KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, broadcasting on 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. We are broadcasting on this day, the 13th of November, 2023. It is approximately 8:03 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I and Celeste will be your co-pilots as we take off into the stratosphere of news and information, all because you are listening to your community radio station, and I am Cecil. So it is so great to have you here this morning on this, the 13th day of November. And a little question for you. That was a bit of a discussion here earlier this morning. When is Veterans Day celebrated? Now, was it on Friday, or is it today? I understand some celebrated on the Friday, and so I know no post office and some banks will close, but some businesses are closed on Monday, and that I think that type of confusion happened when we have become so accustomed to Monday holidays. And what happens when the holiday isn't quite, is closer to the Friday than it is to the Monday, and do you just change things around? And with a day like Veterans Day, which history is very much based on the 11th of November. You remember from your history books, at the 11th hour on the 11th month was the end of the war, of which we know as World War I, Armistice Day, which expanded later after World War II, because World War I was not the war that ended all wars. But that's another story. So the question is, when do you celebrate, or when is Veterans Day recognized? A little bit of trivia for you, and if you have some information, share it with those you are really concerned about, because they may want to know. In the meantime, you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. And this is a time in which you can become a part of our morning conversation. And it is so great that you have taken the time to be a part of this audience this morning. And it's a November morning, so depending on where you are, you know, the weather is a little bit cool. Depending on where you are, the autumn leaves are either have disappeared or disappearing.
They're not disappearing. They're on the sidewalk.
Oh, no, well, that's the other, on the sidewalk and in the gutters. So yeah.
Along the curb, that's where they are. You know. But anyway, I led you astray. Do finish.
I'm going to go and rake some leaves, and I'll give it to you, Miss.
Actually, I looked at leaves this morning, and I thought, oh, that's somebody else's problem. And, I don't have those kind of trees in my yard. And I looked at them, and I thought, okay, what do I do? You know, how do I be a good neighbor when those are not mine? It's a community effort. So I have to get out there, and I'm going to have to rake my neighbor's leaves that are in my yard. Because it's a community effort, you know? It's teamwork.
Teamwork. Oh, okay.
You know, as I heard someone say last night, teamwork makes the dream work.
So you're going to rake the leaves from your neighbor's
tree that are in my yard.
That are in your yard. And are you going to dump them in your neighbor's yard?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not teamwork.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well. I got another name for that, but it has nothing to do with this. But anyway, you know, to kind of figure out, you know, it's a matter of figuring out, okay, whose job is it actually to take care of that, you know, and whose job is it is one of the parts of the topic we got today. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't believe I actually knit that together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, indeed.
That I'm scared. Anyway, so we're having a conversation, and off and on, I'm sure you all have noticed this. And this year, it's been obscene. Okay, it's been obscene, and bear with me, because this is a juxtaposition of two separate things that really kind of are connected. And what's obscene is the fact that hyper consumerism is just rampant. Okay, and let's see. I think it was in late August, early September, I started seeing Christmas stuff. Okay. And they really want us to consume massively. And the reason they want us to consume is because they're feeling that, you know, inflation's creeping up. Well, when you have inflation creeping up and people feeling like, you know, they can't afford those things that you keep shining in front of their faces to have, and you create this artificial lust for them, you know, then people who can't afford them, you know, they're looking at ways they can get them. Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be somebody who's going to be the middle person for that. You know, what did they call them? There's a word for that. It'll come up to me. But basically, okay. You provide people, mm-hmm. you know, those things. That middle word will come to me. And you notice that there's a whole lot more theft going on. And I was at a store, as I was telling Cecil, a big box store. And this guy was grabbing a bunch of stuff, and he turned and walked out. Now, you know, I'm looking at this, and everything that is responsible in me said, I know you're going to say something.
Right.
So I just said very loudly, you going to steal that? And he looked at me and blinked them bright blue eyes and said, no, I'm repurposing. How did he say it? I'm repurposing. I'm repositioning something along those lines I'm taking it without paying for it, but not he didn't say that.
Right.
And so people just stopped and watched him walk out the door. Okay. So you're looking at this and you're thinking, okay, you know, what was my role in this? Who should have said something? Because none of the employees really did anything. And the beeps went off, and there it was. So, you know, fast forward a couple of weeks, and I read this article. And this article had me cracking up. It was published on the 12th of November, I think it was. California sheriff loses it on major retailer from blocking cops from nabbing shoplifters. And prior to that, I was thinking about also how here in Portland, we have a store that's on MLK that said that it was closing because the police weren't able to work during their off-duty hours as security guards to help reduce theft. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I can understand that to a small degree. You feel like you need some help. But then I witnessed, and I have heard from people who are in theft reduction and, you know, all of that, that a lot of times corporate stores won't prosecute. So then you got the police running around here arresting folks and nobody prosecuting them. Then I got to thinking, well, whose job is that anyway? And then we're being beset upon more and more and more with the concerns of, I don't have enough, or I want this. you know, and how am I going to get this? And you got more and more people just being brazen with shoplifting. Even this morning, I saw something where a shoplifter left their keys in the store and had the audacity to come back and talk about, I need my keys, please, because I'm trying to shoplift your stuff out, your store, and you impeding my progress. And so I'm sure some of you are wondering, okay, so what is the point? Okay, we are hyper consumers, especially in this country. If they don't feed us whatever they're feeding us, both in terms of real food and images and sounds to make us buy so much stuff, then it's almost like the world will not turn. Mm-hmm. And my question is, you know, in this chain of hyper-consumerism, there's a couple of things that maybe we might want to do this season to help break it. And one question on one end of the spectrum is for those who are affected, you know, what is our role in this? Because we act as though we're helpless, and we're not. We can make these moves to stop this. We can change our behavior. You know, we like to say we're the paragon of life on this planet. You know, and every other thing has the ability to change its behavior. How come human beings don't? We even study how to change everything's behavior, from making plants go in a different direction to follow the light to, you know, making animals overeat to waving the color red and yellow in front of us to get us excited about buying something. Mm-hmm. You know, what is our role in this? But on another lesser level, I guess I call this kind of a micro level, on the other end of the spectrum, whose job is it to protect all this stuff too?
So, two related questions.
Mm-hmm.
Consumerism, and repeat that again.
I was looking at how we're getting upset, you know, and this is kind of related. It's not directly related, but this whole thing about shoplifting out of control, which I think is partially related to our whole need to consume, but, you know, blaming the loss of stores in our areas on high theft, high crime. Hmm. And it's like, but you're not doing anything inside the store to protect your stuff. You know, and there's a whole lot of mixed messages in that. And I kind of dropped a few of them, you know. Getting us to believe it's our responsibility to protect the goods in the big box stores. Getting us to think that
our response, our...
Yeah, as consumers. So I'm a shopper. It's my job. They're making, okay, when a store closes, because we've had a lot of stores close in this area, you know, big box stores. We've lost some Targets. We've lost Walmarts in the city. We've lost a lot of small businesses, you know, that don't have that, you know, eye-catching name like Target. You know, like Target or what have you. A lot of small mom and pop stores. Places closing down. I mean, if you go over to Lloyd Center, it's virtually empty, and they will say it's theft and crime. And, you know, but if you look at some of these stores, they're not even fully staffed. You know, they don't have enough people in there to sometimes serve you. You got these self-service things.
So it seems as if the problem or the issue is somewhat widespread. So in terms of responding to your question, do you want people to
one thing is, whose job is it to protect this stuff?
Okay,
you know, why are we bearing the expense of all of this? And ever since COVID, you know, we've seen some declines in staffing in the retail area, but we've also, you know, seen some widespread dissatisfaction, you know, with the retail sector, because people act entitled sometimes. They act as though they should be waited on hand and foot.
Okay.
You know, maybe that's what's driving it. And all of these things are interrelated. The fact that these stores are closing, the high theft rates, the fact that we've got corporations trying to slough off the responsibility for protecting their own stuff on both the cities and the consumers. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, we are obviously, you know, not what is the phrase I want to use, because I don't want to be too harsh. Well, we're just not controlling our appetites.
Okay.
That's a little reductive. I know.
Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. If you have a response or some concern about theft reduction or these issues related, give us a call and share your insights. Let's go to our caller in terms of what they have to say. Let's go to Santiago.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When it comes to consumerism, I think most people think consumerism is just like, you know, it's like it's about buying, which it is to an extent, but I think it's more helpful to understand consumerism as you know, what we purchase is who we are.
Okay.
So, and then you combine that with the ad campaigns that were mostly developed by wartime propagandists. You create a symptom where people have this desire to buy things because it says something about who you are because you own it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, I think that could be a portion of it, but I see more and more that that a lot of the theft is really just people trying to get just regular stuff. And if they're stealing these expensive things, if they're really desperate, why aren't they stealing this instead of that? And it's like, well, if you steal a flat screen TV versus a loaf of bread, you can sell that flat screen TV and buy way more loaves of bread than just stealing a loaf of bread.
Well, if that was the equation, that would make sense. If that was the equation.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems, is that's not necessarily the equation. But yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, but I think more importantly, I think it's really important to understand that big box stores like Target, well, not really Target, but let's talk about Walmart, for instance. Walmart came in the 90s and the 2000s, and basically wherever they set up, their goal was to be, they were Amazon right, before Amazon.
Yeah, actually, you said it right when you said the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, they came in and were essentially Amazon before Amazon. They snuffed out all the small businesses. And took it all over. You know, you're talking about, like, you know, stuff that people would normally sell and they'd buy from their community, and now they're buying it through this big box store. And granted, you know, Walmart is essentially making $11,000 an hour, you know, off of its employees, and they offer their employees, who they don't pay full-time wages generally, they have places where they can sign up for SNAP benefits.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, and that's been around since the late 90s, yeah.
Well, the point is that, you know, they have the ability to they have the ability to cover and handle these losses.
They do, but they want to blame it. And one of the things that I find fascinating, and I know sometimes I think about two different thoughts at the same time. When we did some shows some time ago with Matt Taibbi, and we talked about sports, and you would have these cities basically mortgaging their future to get a sports arena. And you would think that the sports team, their franchise, would come in and pay for it. But no, they would blackmail municipalities into paying for these sports arenas. They would cut the municipal services like schools and sewers and lighting and whatever they had to pay for these these arenas, and these franchises would promise them X amount of jobs and revenue, and a lot of times that didn't happen, and you would bankrupt certain areas. Well, that's what these big box stores are doing. They're doing the same thing. They promise municipalities a lot of this, and then they shove off the responsibilities to us, the consumer. So you've already mentioned a couple of things that were really big, like you go to some of these stores and you work, but you will never get full-time hours. You won't get 40 hours. You will not get a livable wage. You will not get benefits. You know, God bless you if you do. But they will make sure that you know how to apply for all kinds of, you know, aid and food stamps and SNAP, as you mentioned. And then when the crime is rampant, they're going to blame it on us still and say, well, your police didn't protect our stuff. And they won't hire it. But we're okay with that. But I want to thank you for laying out some of these points, Santiago. We got a full buffer of folks behind you. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 in the city, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge. In the Willamette Valley, it's 104.3, and KBOO.FM on the internet. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm enjoying this kind of gloomy day because the leaves are beautiful, even though they're red and they're in my yard.
And you're doing the neighborly thing by...
Yeah, I'll take responsibility because they actually in my yard. But anyway, you know, that's how I am. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, all the leaves got in our street got picked up yesterday. So wow. It was nice.
All right.
Nice. So on the subject, we don't address the root cause of crime, which is poverty. If we can, and you know, people aren't going to steal if they can afford things.
Well, that's not true.
Well, it's
partially true, but go ahead.
Fair.
Yeah.
But then also, I mean, who wants to pay for anything from Walmart? I mean, it's Walmart. I mean, they pay low wages. The prices, while lower than some places, are still overpriced. And, you know, same thing with Target. You look at the Powell store for Target, it was not a good store. It was interesting looking, but it wasn't a good store because it didn't have enough stuff in it.
You didn't have the right stuff in it.
Yeah. I mean, and the things were overpriced. And they were overpriced for Target as well. I mean, the price of goods is just too high. So you're not making any kind of that much of a return on what you stock. So I mean, this is it all just here's trickle down economics, where it's trickling down to nothing because, you know, everything costs too much. So places are going to close. I just drove past Andy and Bax. They've been around for how long?
Forever.
And now they're closed because they just, you know, probably couldn't find buyers who wanted to go into a business like that, and no one wanted to take it over, and the price of goods to stock the store was getting to be too much. I mean, there are many causes mm-hmm. to these things,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we can't blame crime for all of it because it's a part of it. But it is
well, organized crime is a big part of it because a lot of these boosters, as they're called on the street, some of them work for organized crime. Not everyone who's out here is just a lone ranger. So, but you know, organized crime thrives off of greed. So,
well, yes.
Yeah,
I mean, and if you really look at it, I mean, Walmart is organized crime.
Well, I'm not doubting that, but I'm not going to say that they're necessarily stealing from themselves. You know,
yeah.
we got two criminals in there duking it out inside the big box store.
Very much so.
Well, thank you for your points. Thank you for your call.
Be safe.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Consumerism, what is the role? How is it impacting you? And What are our responses to it? Celeste began our conversation by an observation, and I'm going to ask her a question. Observation she had in the store watching someone confiscate some material and walking out without going through
without paying for it
yeah. either by cash or other means. And a couple of questions I have. I wonder if there's a calculations for the stores saying, like, what are the risks? You know, should I go after every person? Should I hire security to do that? What are the risks for the employees who are probably filling out their SNAP applications while they're working?
No, you can't do that. You got to be on your 10-minute break, right? 9-minute break.
My point is that there's so much they're unable to do that and
or
do that.
Or unwilling.
To do that, and you know, personal safety also yes. plays a role in that. So it may not be as simple as it appears. At the same time, you have major, not only urban but suburban and rural centers of commerce, concern about how do we reimagine our commercial. Businesses. And so this is, I'd like to remind people that some of these issues are not relegated to one part of the country or one section or one city. Mm-hmm. That this is universal. And that
it's rural, it's urban.
And that you have these issues that you need to address. Well, what do we do about it? And what are our responses? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let's hear what you have to say. John, what are some of your solutions?
Or thoughts?
I went into Fred Meyer. They've got those same gates that Walmart have. They're running your background, your criminal background check. To me, it's a surveillance state. I gotta go.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I was wondering, right, you know, criminal background. Okay.
Well, I didn't know if he was talking. Serious, you know, or if he was being facetious or he was using it as a metaphor.
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
You know, I my mind, like I said, I'm looking at all the scenarios. Well, here's something interesting. I was at a Safeway in Southeast. Last night.
Southeast Portland.
That's right. Okay. Southeast Portland last night. And I think most of the cashiers were closed. So we were sent to the self-serve. And for all of my being.
That's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other ring of hell, you know. And for all of my being a nerd and an old nerd at that, you know, old school nerd, OG, O-N. The point is, me and self-service machines don't work well. Okay, I can't seem to grok them for some reason. So I'm having problems with the machine. But then when I finally get it together and it finally accepts me, you know, with the transaction and I can pay for it and everything, I get ready to leave. I have to have my receipt scanned because if I don't, the gate won't let me out and I can't leave the building. I can't exit the corral. And so when he's saying that, I'm laughing and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, he's, you know, he might have been using it as a metaphor, but there was some truth in that because if I didn't have my receipt to scan, I couldn't get out.
Right.
You know.
Well, that wasn't the case. Well, apparently that wasn't the case at the other store you went to where that person just walked out.
No, okay. Not at all. Oh. You know, that was a TJ Maxx, and, you know, and they had not implemented that. We need a blood sample to get in, a blood sample to get out yet, you know?
All right. Well, let's go to our next caller and hear what they have to say, their stories. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Cecile. Good morning, Celeste. Yeah, I got a quick Fred Meyer story, and then I've got one more comment. I was at Fred Meyer, And I heard a scream from this woman because this other woman had snatched her purse.
Ooh.
And run out the store. And the security guard ran after her, tackled her. She dropped the purse and limped away, and he went back with the purse. That's just, you know, one story. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a story, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
I always tell women, it's like, don't leave your purse. I can't tell you how many times if I was a criminal, I'd be raking it in. Or I would have been caught on camera.
Easy money right there. That's easy money.
Seriously.
And then one quick comment. Only the media calls people consumers. Only the media seems to call people consumers.
But let's be honest. There is a certain amount of our buying activity where we are mindless consumers. And it's not just the media. Business calls us consumers.
But Arthur, I hear your point. I'm not quite sure I hear your point. So why don't you explain more in terms of what you mean by only the media calls us consumers?
Well, the word consumers is a type of person that buys. So in other words, you're taking people,
yes,
human beings, and you're kind of going, those are human beings, but consumers has a direct purpose,
yes,
just to buy. It's just a strange, it's kind of insulting to be called a consumer when you're a human.
You're more than that, yes.
Okay, and let me tell you a radical solution to the thieving problem.
Okay,
this is Walmart and traded on the stock market. Walmart and Target traded stocks. So the stockholders would have to take lower dividends to pay for any improvements in those big box stores. And I don't know if there's enough political will to get that done. You know, and then you could do stuff like you can hire people at $30 an hour, give them first aid training, hire a nurse, give them tasers. You could put a trained person in the store. Heck, you could build like a mini jail inside the store until the cops get there. But then the stockholders would have to take lower dividends.
Well, see, there we go. See, that's the other thing. That's what I meant when I said there's two criminals duking it out inside these stores. Because you got the corporation, which is a criminal itself because it's not paying folks well. And then all those prices, and then you got the other folks. That's an interesting thing. The only problem I have with the mini jail inside is human beings are too damn capricious. We punish each other for no good reason on a whim. I don't know if I want jails and stores, even though there are people who are obviously taking stuff that's not theirs.
Right, and also arguing against myself. Is it really humane to taser somebody for stealing a TV? You know, but what's the other option? I don't see it. But then, of course, if you taser that person, they'll drop the TV and break it.
Of course. And probably bust a kneecap too, and then, you know, there you go. You know, the cost is more than, you know, what the materials are worth.
All right, risk management.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. What I just said was the radical.
Oh, I heard that. I heard you. I heard the chuckle.
Okay, well.
All right.
Thank you for this nice talk. Bye bye.
Uh huh. Well, see, that's the whole thing. It's like, whose job is it? You know.
Well, you know, I think it's all of our jobs and responsibilities. And it's interesting, you know, this conversation this morning, how people have been talking about their experiences in all these major stores. And it's interesting how people so freely drop the names of all these enterprises. I have not uttered one, but we know who we're talking about. And who are the major thieves? Should we focus on the minor thefts? You know, that person, I don't know what that person in the store was taking that you confronted them, Celeste, but I'm sure it does not compare to the to the windfall profits that many of the shareholders are taking, or the cost that workers in these industries are paying, and who are the real criminals, and what should be our position?
Well, that's why I say there's at least two, because the corporations themselves are criminals. So, I mean, you know, even though I'm mentioning their name and you have been dutifully refraining from it, the point is we still know that they are not the innocents. Right. In this case.
And maybe it's okay to name them, because we have to name them in order to confront them.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm thinking anyway. I mean, to just call it out.
Yeah.
You know, okay, and this whole idea about I'm making maybe $13 an hour, maybe, and I'm full-time at this particular store is 40 hours, and I work 33 and a half hours a week, so they don't have to give me full benefits.
Right.
And so when I see a guy walking out with a whole bunch of things like, you know, towels and women's clothes and some jewelry and stuff, I'm not going to stop him. Because if I fall and I bust my knee trying to tackle this man,
oh,
and I'm hurt and I don't have benefits, well, it's not my job.
So,
number two, if the store... And say the police are there and they arrest the guy and the store won't prosecute them, you know, then both the employee and the police officer are looking at each other, scratching their heads, talking about whose job is it then?
Well, you mentioned that earlier in our conversation. Maybe could you expand more in terms of why some of these stores don't prosecute?
Well, that's a good question. Let me go back to this article that I was up. Hold on. Doggone it, fat fingers. I was trying to pull it up, and what did I do with it?
I wonder if it's related to, you know, a cost analysis. Is it more, you know, should we bother prosecuting this one person who's taking that, I don't know, whatever, diapers out, or...
Well,
cost effective.
One of our callers mentioned a couple of things. You know, actually, it was two people, and I think they kind of tied this together. And one of them is stockholders.
Yes.
You know, investing what it costs to act like logically run the whole enterprise. And so we go to places and it's self serve. And they don't have enough people to run it. I mean, I can't even go to my local drugstore, my pharmacy, and get my medications because there's no staff
right there.
And then you hear them walking out because it's bad working conditions. Okay, so it's the job of the owner of the business to run their business in such a way that it's an equitable transaction for everybody. So if I'm going in there as a customer, I should have at least a pleasant experience. Okay, it should be easy for me to go in and spend my hard-earned money. Okay, the people who work there should have an easy experience. In other words, they don't have to put up with the boss being unreasonable. You know, the people who supply all of the adjunct services like the police and the municipal workers who take the trash. It should be easy. But no, we don't. Because why? Because the corporation's shareholders say we want every penny in that dollar bill to squeal.
Which is a reality that we are facing. And also, we are in this special position in our country right now, where we are seeing workers in industries all over standing up and saying that we have certain rights, that we demand certain things so that we are able to do our jobs, so that we are able to feed our families, that we deserve to be respected and honored. And so whether you're working in a fast food establishment or a big box store or public schools or hospitals, people are throughout the country. You're seeing this rise in workers demanding justice, and that is something that we ought to continue to keep an eye on, because we are seeing how workers are organizing in non-traditional industry and organizing themselves, and sort of like people are noticing, whether corporations or unions, people are noticing workers, whether they're hospital workers or teachers or people who work in donut shops or coffee shops. They're demanding respect and the right to not only decent wages, but decent working conditions, and challenging the owners to do things differently.
Well, there you have it, you know. Anyway, join in the conversation. And we know there's a whole bunch of different points of view and details that we've been, you know, sitting out there on the table for you to pick. But, you know, one or two of them might pique your curiosity, or you might have noticed something about. 503-231-8187. And it kind of, you know, again, we also look at this thing, whose job is it? What is the job and whose is it?
Right.
Yeah. And should we be thinking of a different type of cooperative venture? Well, I mean, that's given. You just pointed that out.
You know, I wondered, going back to your incident about the person running out of the store. Now, I assume you were there as a shopper also?
Yeah.
So it wasn't clear to me. Did you spoke to that person and they said, this is what I'm doing, and they continue on their merry way?
Well, I spoke loudly at the person who was probably about 50 feet from me, because I'm watching them, because as I walk in the store, I happen to notice them just being, you know, just grabbing stuff, mm-hmm. and putting it over their arm, and I'm thinking, okay. And, you know, I used to work in crime prevention for the city, so, you know, this is the kind of stuff I used to go to Ma and Pa and sometimes big box stores and tell them how to avoid, what to do, you know. And so I'm noticing this stuff, and, you know, and I just thought, well, let me see if I can pique their conscience. Well,
I wonder, were you the only person who noticed, which I don't think so, but certainly you were the only person who spoke out.
Uh-huh.
And a question is, why others don't speak out? Is it because it's not my business? It's because of personal safety? I don't know, that person's
going to
turn around and...
Yeah.
Shoot, well,
see, you know, and I was, like I said, roughly 50 feet from him, so I figured, okay, but for you coming over here charging at me, you know, I got nothing to worry about. And I don't know if I was gimping around with my cane at the time, but I would have hit a home run if they come after me. It's
right.
Like, you know, I didn't
have
me telling on you is not me doing anything to actually physically harm you. You know, you come over to physically harm me, it's on.
Okay.
I just did what my mama told me to do. She's like, don't steal. And, you know, for the record, okay, I'm going to have a disclosure. As a kid, I figured out that it took the pharmacist X amount of minutes to get to the front counter from the back when the bell rang, when his front door opened, and I was enticed by that dentine chewing gum sitting there.
Oh,
all it
yes.
took was one time and getting caught, and my mom and my dad looking at me with this disappointed look on their face, you know. And them saying something like, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You know, and then I got it, and it's like, this is not a profitable venture. I'm not doing this.
Oh, God. That gum wasn't worth it.
It was not. And it's like, you know, and every time I would think I was going to do something, I'd hear that, and I'd remember it. It's like, I don't need that sting anymore.
Well, before we go to our caller, because your story reminded me, you know, growing up and going into the store. So my, you know, a story I have is, you know, going around to the corner grocery store, but we knew the owners, and so, you know, Mr. Frank, we knew, and they knew us and mm-hmm. our families. So that's different than when I'm walking into this big box store, mm-hmm. Corporation headquarters, you know, thousands of miles away, shareholders and all. And mm-hmm. so it's sort of like, I don't know if it's permission, but it's less, it feels as if I'm taking something from a corporation as opposed to a neighbor. You know, it's one mm-hmm. thing when I'm stealing from that big wall, you know, blank, as opposed to my neighborhood store. But the persons I have to see on the street and at the cleaners. But let's go to our next caller and see what they have to say. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. Talk about the consumerism in the stores and the big box stores and buying this and that. Okay. I mean, I can hear all of that, but it just reminded me of this one anecdote that a fellow, you may know him. His name is Peter Coyote. He's a narrator on PBS now. And he was a member of a group in the 60s. A bunch of hippies were doing these kinds of things back in those days. And he and his group, the Diggers, they had a store. And, they ran this store. And, people would come and go. And this is in the heyday of Haight-Ashbury and all that sort of thing, you know. So he's working in the store. And he's proprietorying and walking around and checking things out and straightening things out. And he notices there's a lady over there. And she's kind of looking around, you know, she looks kind of suspicious. And he's watching her, and she's sticking things into her purse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's stealing things. And so he goes over there, and he's looking at her, you know, and he kind of looks around too, you know. He starts helping her. He's helping her to steal things. And she didn't realize it, but this store was called the Free Store. Anybody could go there and take whatever they wanted.
Mm.
And you think, you know, and so this is just one of these anti-establishment organizations.
Yeah. So who is paying for this free store?
Okay, exactly. How could this go on? What happened was that store got the reputation of people knew about the free store. So when people would move and they'd have to get rid of some of their belongings and things like that, what do they do with them? Well, rather than take them to Goodwill, they took them to the free store. They had more stuff than what they could give away.
And
there was always something there. People could come and look and browse around and just take whatever they wanted. And people kept bringing things in, too, as, you know, the population turned over and apartments turned over and things like that. You know, maybe not very sustainable, you know, in the long run for
mm-hmm.
the culture. But it was just a statement.
It was a statement, and it's a way...
It's the absurdity of the consumer culture and people stealing and, you know, the value of goods, you know, and the whole hippie thing, you know, which mm-hmm. I thought was very, very refreshing.
I appreciated a comment you made in terms of summarizing the absurdity of the consumer culture.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's my story. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. You know, did you get a chance to read the overview of the movie? Because I knew you were running out of time and didn't get to see the whole movie.
I started watching the movie, and I didn't watch the whole
thing.
Yeah. You know,
like I said, there was some heavy-handed treatment, but overall, it was an interesting idea. So I told Cecil, you know, in preparation for this, I said, if you get a chance, watch Downsizing. Because I watched the movie, and it had kind of a ham-fisted anti-consumerism theme to it, but it also had a couple of other interesting themes as well. And I thought, what an interesting statement on consumerism.
Yeah. And so it's a statement on consumerism, and that's the recommendation from Celeste. She says,
well, if you're sitting up and there's nothing else that you can think of that you want to watch, it wasn't that bad.
Well, it's more than not bad. I mean,
well, I won't make it out to be, you know, the Academy Award winner, you know,
okay.
But like I said, I thought it was a little ham-fisted on some things, you know, heavy-handed. But overall, I appreciated some of what I pulled out of the movie, you know, and that was the whole idea of leaving a smaller footprint, you know, pun intended.
Oh, yes. Okay. See, just that's a hint. Yeah. Let's go to our next caller. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I will say right up front that Free Stores are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
they rock. You know, the millions of dollars that Goodwill profits off of people's junk is kind of insanity.
Yeah,
it is.
Especially with the way prices have gone up at Goodwill. You can't hardly buy a shirt for less than $8 at a Goodwill anymore.
Well, you know, I used to defend them because they do offer a lot of community services like free, you know, English languages and employment help. You can go get resume help. But, you know, their prices are getting insane. And you're right. They make a lot of money off of that.
Yes. And we've come back to... people stealing from stores is not something that's new. I used to have friends
not
that would
all.
Put a tent under their sleeve and walk out the door.
Wait, say that again?
I said, yeah, I used to have a friend that would put a tent under his sleeve and walk out the door.
A tent?
And that was, yeah.
Put a tent under where?
Under his jacket.
Oh, under the jacket. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Under his sleeve, you know. His jacket sleeve.
Mm.
But yeah, it's... There's two sides to this whole reality.
At least, yeah.
And one is, you know, part of the reason they don't stop people is because that's kind of free advertising when they get this stuff in this low-income house that doesn't have the ability to afford stuff. And their friends come over and they see this and go, ooh, I want one of those.
Mm.
And the percentage of people that actually steal is really quite low.
Well,
they're not closing their stores because they're losing money to theft. They're closing their stores because they can't hire enough people to man them and they don't want to pay them enough to actually work for them.
Well, it's that's not even just that. And you're hitting on one of the other things. That's what I'm getting at. And Cecil mentioned, and a caller did when he said shareholders. You know, because it's not the police's job to come in there and protect your stuff. But if you don't pay your employees enough to care, they're not going to protect it either.
Walmart's a welfare store. And I say Walmart's a welfare store because we, the people, pay for the health care of the people that work there because for some reason our politicians still allow them to get away without paying taxes.
Well,
and
whose job
we were
is
to
it?
Even,
mm-hmm.
We were to even force them to actually pay the people a decent wage or to pay for their health insurance, we might actually pay a little bit more at Walmart, but it's subsidized by the people.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes, and that's the case. I mean, I won't say that it's not theft because I've seen some rapid theft at a lot of these big box stores, and I just stood there and watched it. It's like, wow. But they're already passing, like a lot of our callers have said, the expense of having that that enterprise in our communities. We're paying for them to be there and charge us high prices to get stuff. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
That's it.
And we're allowing the government to help subsidize them in so many ways to keep it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like getting a sports franchise, you know? We don't make any money off of that. Somebody does, but it's not us.
It's not the fans.
Nope. You know, it's not the customers. You hit the nail on the head. So, if it was your store, what would you do?
Hmm. Well, if it was my store, I'd be paying my employees enough that they didn't have to steal from me to begin with.
There you go.
Yeah,
but
I
yeah,
that. Yeah.
The small mom and pop places, like, they often get hit the worst because they don't have the means to recoup the cost, and they don't buy things in such large quantity that they can just make a sale at the end for the cost that they spent on them because they already made all their money.
Right. That's
which
true.
Is what a lot of times they're doing when they sell things at cost is because they already made $5 billion on their investment.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these sales that you see, they've already made their money on that product. So, okay, now let's make a sale. So,
right.
The consumerism, like you said, and the way the commercialism is going, the way capitalism is.
Well,
we kind of have to overturn capitalism and get back to an actual democracy.
Okay. That's a longer conversation, but you've got some good points, and thank you so much for your call.
Yes, I think you have beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And, you know, before our program ends, I want to note today as a day of remembrance on this day, not very far from this studio, on November 13th, 1988, Mulugeta Serra was attacked and murdered on the streets of Portland. This tragic attack on this young man was initiated by white supremacists who beat him and killed him on the streets of Portland. His death, and he was an immigrant, raised a lot of concerns and raised the issues about how we treat one another in our society. Mr. Serra left one son who was able to grow up. But on this anniversary of this tragic racist killing, let us remember not only Mr. Serra, but also the countless number of individuals and communities who are attacked because of who they are. And let us be determined to work in our day that such violence and hatred will begin to fade away, and that we can create a more just and loving society for all.
For all. Thank you for that, Cecil. And thank you to everyone who continues to financially support this radio station. We have the freedom to help knit together communities because of those of you who are able and willing to support us. You can always support KBOO. You can go to our website, www.kboo.fm, and click that button, that red enticing button that says donate, and support us as you're able. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our callers. Thank you to our tireless engineer, Ray. Stay tuned for the Old Mo Variety Hour coming up here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM Community Radio.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once Upon a Time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month, from 11 to noon, here at KBOO 90.7 FM.